Welcome back to another episode of Uninformed Gamers. I am one of your hosts, Darkness Tiger.
And I am Chameleon, or Chris.
If only they knew what just happened before we went live.
All right. No, now, to be fair, they updated the interface, and when I click record, it now gives a three-second countdown instead of just starting the recording.
Yeah, so guys, before they did this update, Chris would actually count us down every single time. He would count us down that if it was him about to do the intro, or he'd count us down if it was I about to do the intro. So this is what we expected to happen. So I'm just sitting here because he does want to try to do the next. I'm just sitting here just playing on my phone, and he's just doing my countdown. 3, 2, and I go ahead. I'm like, I get my deep breath and I start talking. And then he's like, wait, hold on. And I look up and I see the 2, 1. I'm like, Jesus, Chris.
I did not know that was going to happen.
And like the second I saw that 2 and that 1, my Morticia Rose impersonation came to my head. Jesus, David. But no, how's it going today, Chris? What's going on?
Nothing really, man. Played some Ark today, some League of Legends.
There's just some games I'm just never going to get into, and Ark is one of those. I'm going to be honest.
That's fair. It's not for everybody.
Yeah, and I'm glad I recognize that. But right before I hopped on this call, I decided to get some dinner before I came here because I'm currently working in the center of Pennsylvania, just here for work until I believe another month. We'll see. Hopefully a little bit less, but it just depends on what our needs are. And I said, you know what? Instead of me going to a sit-down restaurant because we shoot these podcasts, I'm going to stop, give me some takeout, and go to the hotel, eat before we start this podcast. And do you ever have takeout that you have a better memory than it actually was? Like, you stop there thinking it's going to be so good based off some arbitrary memory in your head, and you remember the second you take a bite why you don't go to that place more often.
I'm very selective with where I eat. Okay. So no, but I can if I know something's good, I know it's good. Mm-hmm. Like I don't usually have like this thing in my mind where I think it's good, but then it's not. Because I don't eat that many places because there's a few places around me. There's not really a ton though.
No, I know where you're at. Yours is kind of a hustle.
Yeah.
To really get anything. But I know one food place that I know you do not like, and that's Subway.
Not a fan.
So I hope we don't ever get a Subway sponsorship because Chris ain't going to eat it. what was your problem with Subway? Let's dig into this. Let's do a deep dive. Let's circle back. Let's follow up on this. What's going on with Subway?
When you go in Subway, you know that nasty smell?
Yeah.
And it like follows you home.
And like, every Subway has that smell.
And I don't know what it is. I, to this day, have no clue what could be causing that smell, but that smell is absolutely vile.
You know, I don't mind it because I've traveled across the country multiple times. And sometimes the only thing that's open, Chris, in the middle of bum F nowhere is a Subway. And when you see that little yellow and green sign in the distance after a long night of nothing, it's comforting. You walk in and there's always a guy who literally has no idea how to do his job or her job. I don't want to be sexist. Who literally does not know how to do their job. And you just like, well, this is what you do. You're making minimum wage. I'm about to pay you way more. Because the reason Subway got its fame was because of that $5 foot long. I don't remember the last time I ever paid $5 for a foot long.
They are no longer that price. They jacked that price up a long time ago because the franchises said they could no longer afford it. They said it was because of how the world had changed. It was more expensive than what it is now.
Yeah, but let's think about that for a second. You guys expanded because of that $5 foot long, and now, well, we can't really keep doing this because it's $5. We'll charge 50 mm-hmm. some more cents. And except on Mondays, we'll sell this one for $5.50. On Tuesday, we'll sell this one for $5.50. Okay, cool. I'm glad to hear it. But no, I never.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I never had a problem with Subway because, again, when you're traveling, Subway is usually the only thing that's open. Where you're going to like truck stops or even Walmart, you'd usually be able to find a Subway. But the food item that I stopped to get today, the takeout particularly, that I took a single bite, and I'm like, this is why I do not stop here more. And I really don't know if I should be saying this, considering this is your sponsor. Taco Bell.
This is not, I guess they did sponsor me. All right.
Exactly.
All right. I'll give you that.
So I guess I was just out of it. I was tired. I just didn't feel like, because I had Chick-fil-A for lunch. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to stop at some Taco Bell. I'm going to get those little Cinnabon, little mini things that they have. And I'm going to just go and do this podcast. So I pull up to the drive-thru menu, and they have the $5 French fry box, which consists of a five-layer beefy burrito, a hard taco, and French fries, and a drink. And so I go ahead and I add on my little cinnamonies. After I did all that, because it was a $5 box, it was the whole thing ended up being like $10.19. So I'm like, that's not bad. So I get the food home, doing a balancing act to get it all the way up to my hotel room, considering I actually have no hands, considering I have to use a key card to enter everything. So I sit down. I'm like, finally, I don't have to think about work. I can just enjoy my meal because I remember this being so good. I take a single bite, and I am like, I must have misremembered this because this is not good.
To be fair, Subway's never really been – I mean – Taco Bell has never really been like really good or anything. I mean,
well, no, Taco Bell has always been that like after hours drinking, you've gone,
yeah,
you've been drinking, Yinglings all night. You've been drinking Ham's beer all night, and you, it's so gross. And you really need something else. And Taco Bell, because I went to college in Bowling Green State University, as you're aware. And Taco Bell is one of the few items that was open until like 4 a.m. So
yeah, because you guys are in the middle of a cornfield.
You're in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of a swamp. So since the bars were like within walking distance from the college, the Taco Bell sat exactly in the center. So after the bars were closed, it was time to go to Taco Bell. And the line outside this Taco Bell was ridiculous. It looked like its own frat party.
I believe it.
And the only reason people stopped there was not because it was good. It was because it was open. And I have to remember this idea next time I want Taco Bell to remember. It's not that it's good. It's that it's open. So, yeah. Anything you want to talk about, Chris, before we talk about our major topics for today?
No, nothing really from me.
Okay.
What have you been playing, by the way?
I've basically almost, but not really. I finished that indie game called Call of the Sea. Mm-hmm. It actually was much shorter than I thought it would be. I think the average runtime was just a little bit over 6 hours. I ended up beating it like a little bit less than five.
Okay.
And it was one of those games where you play a chapter, or in my opinion, I played a chapter, and that was enough for me for the day. I do not know what it was about this game, because everything that this game put forward was things that I would have liked. But I think I discovered my problem with Call of the Sea. Because I looked at the achievements list before I started playing it, I was playing it just to get the achievements.
Oh, that's rotten.
Yep. I realized about 10 minutes in, I'm like, well, these are easy achievements. I can just get these all in one playthrough. So I just sat there and I was just like, all right, let's do this first chapter. So I'm like going through, looking at everything, like clicking on this, clicking on that. And I'm like, well, I got all the achievements for this chapter. And I'm done for the day. So I was only really playing this game for the achievements. And I don't believe that that was fair to the game, because I actually thought the storyline was fantastic for the 5 hours that I played it. And I know you would not like this game, Chris. I'm going to be a full honest and disclosure. You would hate this game.
Why? Because of the puzzles?
Yeah, it actually has – I'm not lying when I say this. It actually has difficult puzzles.
Okay.
Because, like, when you're playing the game – and obviously it can't be a spoiler alert because I'm not going to give one. When you're playing the game, you, like – as you're, like, picking up objects, your character is, like, scribbling things down in her notes. And then so once you get to the puzzle, you have to go through your notes and decipher what the notes mean to get past the puzzle.
Oh, yeah, I'd suck at that.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there.
I'd be on Google.
I was on Google, Chris. I was just like, you know what? I don't got time for this. I only got 15 minutes to play this game. Figure this out.
There was this there was a game that defeated me on the, like, and it was just one puzzle, and it was the only puzzle that I remember in that part of the game. It was the Tell Me Why game, the first episode. There's this puzzle on this door, and I could not figure it out for the life of me. I was like, I don't even know where to begin with this. Like, you had to read this, like, this kid book and pull this information. I was like, I don't know. I'm looking it up. I can't figure this out.
Well, whatchamacallit, do you think in this day and age, do you think it is okay to, like, look up something if you're not sure? If you, like, let's say a puzzle or a location. Do you think it's actually okay to just look up a guide to get unstuck? Or do you think that you should grind it out until you figure it out?
No, no. Don't waste your time. Be real. Do you really want to sit there for, like, 3 hours trying to figure something out that you might not even ever actually get? Because there's been some puzzles that I've, like, seen in games where I'm just like, how did you even get to this point? Because I don't see a, I don't see A, B, or C here.
Well, then definitely don't play Call of the Sea. But I because you're really going to be like, I don't see how you guys got to this in any capacity.
Yeah.
But I think that, I think there's kind of a, an achievement. I think there's kind of like a bit of joy when you're working on a puzzle, specifically in puzzle games or platformers or whatever, where you're trying to figure something out, you can't get it, and then all of a sudden it clicks for you.
Yeah, yeah. No, there definitely is something to that. I remember I was playing D&D with my friends, and he was taking us through, like, it's called like a one-shot campaign. Mm-hmm. Literally, you're supposed to be able to do it in like one session. It's like, it's usually around 4 hours long.
I do not even hang out with my friends for 4 hours to drink.
I do. We drink and play D&D because it's funny.
Well, you got to play with Jules. Jules got a D&D.
Yeah, I heard she had tried it and we really liked it.
Yeah, I've never played it.
It's pretty fun.
I don't got time.
Yeah, no, it's a very time invested game. Like, you have to play pretty often.
Yeah.
But anyways, when there was this, like, puzzle, and, like, you had to think of everything you had done since you got in the dungeon and take it through piece by piece. And I figured it out in the first try. No one else was just sitting there. And then I figured it out in the first try. I was like, I think it means this, 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 and this. Like, you had to select, like, a certain door order. And if you selected right, you won. If you didn't, you had to fight something busted and was probably going to die. There at the beginning of that dungeon, though, we were all defeated. Like, it was some sort of, what is that? Not a puzzle, but like it's a sentence, and you have to figure out what the sentence is talking about.
A riddle?
A riddle. Yeah, that.
That hard, challenging word there, Chris.
I couldn't think of the word. But yeah, there was a riddle to go in, and it was about the moon. And we had, and so the answer was the moon. We had no clue. We're sitting there. And, like, my buddy Nate, who was DMing the game, is just, like, looking at us like, you guys serious? Like, so it took us like 10, 15 minutes to figure it out.
So y'all are sitting here drunk and figuring out riddles. I think that would be the worst drunk activity.
It's normally not that. Like, it's not all the time that you run into riddles and puzzles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was just that one shot had that stuff included in it.
Oh, that's very fair. But what games are you currently playing?
Mostly Ark and League of Legends, and then a splash of Cyberpunk.
You're still playing Cyberpunk?
The tiniest splash of Ni No Kuni. No, it's really long, dude. I've been trying, but go ahead.
Well, I heard that it was supposed to be like, what, a 20-some hour game, give or take, if you just go straight to the story?
I have not done that. I've been doing side mission after side mission after side mission. They never
end. That's how I got stuck in Yakuza 0 on Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah, dude. Like, I feel trapped now. I was like, I want to get like, because the issue is I want these cool cars. Mm-hmm. I want to buy this car. It's like $100,000.
Okay.
And like, I'm close now. I'm at $75,000, but it took a long time to get $75,000. So you just have to like beat these missions and do it the safe, secret way, like very stealthy and stuff like that. And that sometimes is incredibly hard to do. And so like you'll spend a lot of time like, man, you like, because if you get caught instantly, you can't get the max payout. Mm-hmm. And you have to reload last save. It gets real annoying real quick. But go ahead.
I remember the developers saying that with Cyberpunk, it's actually possible to beat the game without killing a single person.
No, yeah, that's 100% positive. Possible.
Really? If
you choose the right dialogue options. The dialogue can screw you over in that game. Like, I said something to this dude this one time, and I thought it was sounded fine when he said it. He thought it didn't, and he wanted to fight me. So
me at Waffle House at 2 in the morning.
So, yeah, no, the game's great. I really enjoy it. I really wish it would have been released in a good state.
Yeah.
For everybody.
I wish I've had the opportunity to play it, but again, I still can't find a next-gen console. And at this point, I'm not worried about it. It's either I'll find one or I won't, and it looks like I won't.
Yeah, for sure.
But speaking of games that we're playing, you and I are actually playing a game together for the first time in a very long time.
Yeah, I feel like the last game we actually played together was probably like Left 4 Dead or something.
It was probably the Left 4 Dead or Army of Two. That was also up. That was up there.
I love that game.
Such a great game. We need more Army of Three because they did end up making a sequel to Army of Two. I never finished that one, but they did make a sequel to it. And I think after that, I think they abandoned the IP because it just didn't. Yeah. The sales numbers just weren't good.
Yeah, I feel like that game needed a. It needs a current gen engine to run it.
Oh yeah,
because it's old now. It's what, from the 360 days, something like that.
Oh yeah, it's definitely. I think it's a game that at this point could probably be remade, and I think a lot of people would buy it because of it being a co-op game. That's one of those games where you can probably do like a split screen type of situation.
Oh yeah, couch co-op works really well for that game.
Oh absolutely, and especially with everybody being trapped at home, no better time to bring that back than now. But the game you and I are playing are one we talked about this last week, and the game is EA's Anthem. And the question that was going to be asked this week was, should EA kill Anthem off and move on to the next project, or should they take Anthem and rebuild? You and I had never played Anthem, so we decided, how about we play it together? We'll give our thoughts, and here's our thoughts for you guys. Chris, in a yes or no answer format, do you think EA should kill off Anthem?
No.
I agree. Though we didn't find it to be perfect, we thought that it was good enough.
Yes. I see a very strong foundation that it just needs to be improved upon. Like, the map is confusing. Fix it.
Very much so.
Oh man, the stores, like, I don't know what's happening there, but that's confusing. Like, I still don't know to this day how to sell my like weapons that I don't want. Like, all I see is a salvage option. I don't know what's happening there. When you do like the free roam, the like missions, they don't really give you much like guidance, if any at all.
Right.
But to be fair, it has some really good aspects, like the flying. The flying is very satisfying, very well done. I like the combat. It can be polished and improved a bit, but overall, I actually do enjoy like fighting things, like especially as the Interceptor, where I'm just in there melee and stuff and getting waxed. It's so fun.
Yeah, considering you've almost died more than I've almost died.
Oh, yeah, dude. If something hits me once, I'm dead.
Yeah, you have absolutely no matter of strength for your character, because your character is what the – do you remember what your character's name is? Or the class.
It's the Interceptor.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. you're the Interceptor. I think I'm like the Storm, like the something like that. And my guy is more elemental. Yours is more speed-paced. And I will agree with you, but I will say this. I think the combat for me, my character is fine. I think it's enjoyable. I think it's I have a lot to work with my character. The flying I think is fine, but I absolutely hate how I have to land because we're not flying that far to begin with. And the fact that we have to land between there and to the next short place is kind of pissing me off just a little bit.
Oh, you mean the overheating?
Yeah, the overheat. So when you fly in Anthem, you overheat and you have to either fly downwards to cool off, go underneath some water to cool off, or if you don't and you overheat, you lose your flying ability for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is not the most convenient thing in this game because you could crash in a place you don't want to crash in.
Yeah. I remember that EMP we accidentally ran through. It's
just every single one of us.
We just went crashing down. That was comical. I was like, oh, we weren't supposed to hit that.
Because we were like doing some kind of like time trial run thing that we accidentally signed up for. And both Chris and I just fly straight into an EMP.
And, it was so dumb.
And I think that the great things about Anthem are those moments. The ones where you can't anticipate, the ones where you're just playing the game, you're still figuring things out, the ones where it's just you and the game and you're discovering something. You're discovering the game together.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes, I agree.
I do think that you mentioned some great points that Anthem does a very poor job at explaining anything to you.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned the store. I've gone to the store a couple times. I've seen the prices of stuff, but I don't see why I would buy things at the store yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on in there because there's like what, a featured store, a seasonal store.
Yeah.
And now I'm guessing that seasonal's been there since like they stopped doing development on the game. Right. So it ain't seasonal no more.
Like you can get a 2019 t-shirt from the seasonal store.
Right. So like, yeah, it's very weird. Like I was like really hoping for some sort of shop to like, cause like I'm really not even sure where the money that I'm getting is coming from.
Yeah,
but I want to sell these weapons.
Yeah, let's even explain. We're just literally every time I get weapons that I think are bad, I'm just like, well, I'll just salvage these considering I don't know what to do with them because I can't sell them and I don't think they're good weapons. And you just get money from that. And I'm like, why am I getting money from this?
Oh, were you getting money from the salvage?
I think, I don't know if I'm getting money or I'm getting resources.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I couldn't even tell where the thing was popping up at to tell me what I was getting. So,
well, hell, Chris, you run through things so damn quickly, you don't read anything.
Well, I was trying to read the stuff, but it's like when you throw like a block of paragraph, a lot of people don't read that shit. And I'm one of those people. I don't.
I am one of those people. Chris, I am one of those people. I will read every. If I wasn't playing with you, because again, Chris rushes through everything, so I just like, well, fuck, I'll just rush through with him. Like I'm sitting there, like we're in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, and I'm like, I don't even know what mission we're doing. I have no idea why we're here. So yeah, I'm the person. If I find like any text of anything of any lore, I will read the whole thing from beginning to end. I feel like I probably read every piece of text in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I probably read every piece of text in Yakuza 0. I probably read every piece of text in Skyrim because if it's there, it was there for a reason, so I'm finna read it. Anthem?
Yeah.
I've not read a single thing. I pick up these. I guess these are collectibles. I do not know. There's like codexes all over the place, so I pick them up every time I see them. I literally look at it for a quick second, realize Chris is waiting for me since I'm on Xbox. I have to take forever to load, and I just press A. And I do not know where those codexes are going, so I have to go because I want to go back and read them later.
Oh, they're in your like start menu or something. See, there's a way to look at them. I was seeing
never been explained. And one of the definitely the mini map, the mini map
is garbage too.
The mini map is trash. It's just this little tiny beaker icon thing, and it's fine. It gets you where you need to be, but if they don't explain to you what that mini map, you're just kind of like, oh,
yeah,
it's there.
Yeah, it's almost like a radar, it, like would be the
Yeah.
best way to put it,
Little
with like it has
sonar.
like three
Not sonar.
sonar. So it has like three lines, and you have to like follow these like lines in like the direction that they're going, and then they'll face straight if you're like looking at the area, and then you just have to like look around in the area until you find what you're looking for. I'm not a fan of it. I hate it. I really hate it.
Yeah, I hate it as well, but I also hate how, like, when you're in the free roam or whatever it's called, free adventure, whatever, it does not explain, like, where you're supposed to go, how you're supposed to get there. You're just kind of like, all right, we'll just fly in this direction until something happens. And
Well, that's kind of what the free roam is. It's just you just flying around and doing whatever, but
yeah, but that's not, that doesn't, but that's not fun to me. Like, I need a clear objective as to what I'm doing so I can go and do it.
so like Destiny has the same thing. It's pretty standard in those type of games. So the free roam is really just like you exploring, and there'll be usually like side missions and stuff in the on the map. And just different points of interest to go to, and that's all that was. But my issue was when we got the damn missions in the free roam, they didn't explain anything at
No,
all.
they didn't even tell it, like, because you could, like, see on the map where the mission might have sort of kind of was, but it doesn't actually, like, you actually have to jump off the side of the cliff, turn into a your rocket or whatever you're flying, and then you start getting notifications that you can fly through that was kind of like that'll take you there. None of this was explained. So Chris and I are just literally just looking around like, where the fuck do we go?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Do you could
The
oh go
oh,
ahead.
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say the story for the most part, I like it because it's kind of tells you where to go and everything. So, my only issue was that time where it didn't say anything, and then we opened the map, and the map fucking like loaded up. It was like, yeah, you need to do this, and this. But I'm not sure why it didn't tell us to open the map to begin with or force us to open it.
Yep. Like, it literally was just like it dropped us off and just like, all right, good luck. You open the map and there's nothing there. We're all just kind of like just bobbing around until the thing showed up. And okay, if this was a game had just come out, that would make sense. This game did not just come out. This is not a new game.
Yeah, they haven't updated this game in a long time.
Now, do you think after playing it, because we played it twice, but we played it for about 2 hours now, do you think this could have been a Destiny killer, knowing everything you know now?
I think if they would have executed properly in different areas of the game, yeah, I think it would have been a great contender because it has its own thing that Destiny doesn't have. Like the flying is way different than Destiny has. The combat is, again, it's similar but different. There's a lot to go on here. Really strong foundation. I really do think that if they fix it and do what the community asks, I really do think it could make a really good game.
I after playing it for 2 hours and after seeing like the bare bones of what they were trying to do, I could see that, as you said, they have the bare bones of a good game, but they have a whole lot of work ahead of them. Because when Destiny came out, Destiny had a whole lot of work ahead of it. However, it put that whole lot of work in, and now Destiny is basically a new generation Halo at this point. Considering Halo is not a Halo anymore. So I think, and it is weird to be conflicted because I do have two thoughts. I want them to continue building on this game. However, I also want them to take everything they learned from building this and everything they realize they made the mistakes on, and go ahead and just go to Anthem 2 and just start that process.
So if they tried that, they would get so much flack.
Of course,
They're like, no one's gonna buy them too, would be the problem.
But EA is going to do that. That's what EA does. EA's sequels. They're going to, because I hope they don't kill it, but I think what they're going to do is they're going to kill it. They're going to wait until E3 and then announce Anthem 2. And it probably won't be Anthem 2. They'll probably say Anthem Resurrection. That's what it'll be called. And then it'll be like, we've listened, the community's listened, we're coming back, and we're giving you 2.0 Anthem Resurrection. We're bringing the game back from the dead. Oh, so it's a sequel. Thanks.
They better not try that.
It's a sequel. It'll be coming out in 2024.
Yeah, they better not try that. That no one's going to buy the game. They might as well scrap it before they even think that they've rolled that off their mouth.
I hope nobody. I would hope nobody buys that. But overall, I think Anthem is fun. But but we also talked about this while we were playing. Anthem would not be fun if you were by yourself.
No. I mean, you get to the story mode, and that's about it for you if you're playing alone.
Yeah, but I think even doing the story mode by yourself, it just loses its charm quickly because you're just – it's quiet.
I think it, like, forces you to play with people because we couldn't figure out a way to make it private.
No, it was just you and I. But in that regard, I think it's kind of nice because you're not – when you're doing those missions, you're not just by yourself the entire of the time. You actually have a little bit of a team.
Yeah.
But whether you talk to your teammates or not, because we didn't talk to any of our teammates. They were kind of, hell, I think one of our teammates just left and did his own thing.
He just left us and was just doing his own thing.
He went to go pay his bills. He went shopping. He went to go wash his car. He came back. He came back and the mission was done.
Comical.
Oh, he's one of those. I get what he was. He was one of those people who just like goes off and does his own thing and just waits until the mission is completed. And then he gets all the reaps all the benefits.
My favorite clowns.
Yeah. I'm here to play. I'm not here to sit.
Yeah. All right. I think we talked about enough about good old Anthem. I think, like I said, I think they just need to fix it.
I think
they're gonna do go with the Anthem 2.0 update and let's see how it turns out.
Yes, EA, if you're listening, which I know you are because you're a subscriber to this podcast, keep Anthem alive and make sure you keep releasing regular updates as well as downloads and make sure they're free. Don't do that Sims 4 bullshit. Make sure they're free and make sure you're listening to the community when we say we want Anthem to stay alive, but we want more from it. Fair?
Fair.
All right, Chris. Now, this time you sent me a bunch of topics and I think I only sent you one. So let's hop into one of yours.
Yeah. So I saw an article. It was making its rounds on Twitter earlier this week.
Making our rounds downtown, walking fast, faces fast, and I'm home. Okay, I'll set up.
So this specific one was from IGN, but I had heard like earlier this week from a different source. So Microsoft, here's the title of the article. So Microsoft Bethesda acquisition reportedly partly responsible for Stadia's studio closures.
I'm confused by this.
Me too. So here's my thing, Google. If you can't handle the heat, don't get in the kitchen.
Got it.
Like, it makes no sense that you were like, now, mind you, this article is very vague because they don't really know what the specific reason why this was a problem for them. But this was one of the many factors of why they closed down the studio. But like, regardless, to even use this as a factor, well, like, what did you like? Bethesda was going to make games. Like, yeah. What's the deal? Like, yeah, they're now going to be making games for Xbox and Windows. Like, more often than not, probably exclusively, because there's no other reason to buy a studio other than to make it exclusive.
Now that I'm sitting here, now that I'm thinking about this, I actually have two pieces of mind on this.
Yeah, go ahead.
The first piece of mind is after the meeting, they were just like, "Aw, now we can't get Skyrim on our Google Stadia no more."
Yeah, like what? Bethesda will give you Skyrim on Stadia.
Yeah, Bethesda's gonna Skyrim and Grand Theft Auto V are gonna be the last games ever made on the planet.
Dude, seriously.
Like, I'm surprised we have not heard a Skyrim announcement, and I feel in my bones that's coming at E3. Like, E3 is about to be the biggest, based on what I'm saying, E3 is about to be the biggest letdown of all time. Because all it is just them just re-releasing shit. And my other piece of mind was, when Microsoft realized the acquisition of the Bethesda parent company, Google was probably like, why are we doing this? Why don't we just buy somebody? So maybe Google's sitting there and probably thinking about shopping. Who do you think Google could buy or would buy? Not Nintendo.
All right. So Google has unlimited money. They're just one of those companies.
Google and Microsoft. So
if they wanted to buy any developer, they could. Like there's just about like no developer that like would say no. Like if they gave them a real good number, like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
there's no way any of these developers say no if they're, because Google can offer basically unlimited money, just like Microsoft did with the $7 billion.
But there's very few companies that Google could buy that would make Stadia a massive contender. On the top of my head, I can think of probably two or three developers or companies that Google could buy that would actually be like, okay, we have to own a Stadia. Do you know what those companies in my head are?
Probably from the dude that made that walking simulator. What's the name of that?
Jesus. Oh, this is bad.
Death Stranding Studio.
Death Stranding. Kojima Studios.
Kojima, yep. So yep. If they bought that, that would bring people. If you're just putting on Stadia, they would bring people.
But would it though? Because though Death Stranding was boring, I don't think people are going to be like, I have to have a Stadia to play Death Stranding 2.
But he's probably not working on Death Stranding 2. He's probably working on something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's in the gaming world, he's considered to be very creative and kind of out there. So yep. I'm assuming he doesn't want to do a number two right away. He might do mm-hmm. it a few years down the line, but he's probably looking at some new IP, honestly. And so people are definitely going to be interested in whatever that IP is going to be.
Yeah. And then plus ever since he's left the Metal Gear Solid franchise, he's still kind of be building his studio. He doesn't have like a whole lot of name recognition, as you and I are playing video games every single day and reading the news and in tech. And we still just struggle to figure out what his name was. He's still building a studio, though. He is well respected in the industry. I'm sure mm-hmm. there's probably a price tag attached to that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So he's going to I'm going to guess in his contract, cause he was not happy with his previous contract with Konami.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to want like free reign over doing whatever he wants to do. Like without that being in the contract, he's not going to sign. Like, I don't think any number would change his mind because of the relationship he had with Konami.
Yep.
So if he doesn't get free reign to do whatever he wants and went on whatever timeline that he wants, yeah, he's not going to sign.
But I think that he would be in every right to not sign.
Yeah, no, for sure. You already went through hell once. You don't want to go through it again. Like, there's no reason for that.
Now, do you want to take... Okay, so I didn't guess Kojima Studios. The biggest ones that I would say that would be a major game changer, and again, this I don't think that these companies are going to sell. Though Google has money, I just don't see these companies actually selling because I feel like they could make more profit by not doing this. Mm-hmm. EA.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate to say it, Chris. Where's your Madden games coming from?
That would be so expensive.
That would be a big slap in the face to a lot of people.
Like, I'm not even actually sure. All right. So I do think certain franchise fans would go like to the Stadia. So like FIFA. Whoever, because everyone loves soccer around the world.
Everyone loves soccer and everybody knows Google. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So if you tell me that Stadia can only play the new FIFA, 100% those fans are going to it.
They're going to have no choice but to go to Stadia.
Right. Now, Madden's another story. The people that have been buying Madden have been getting fed up with the franchise.
But that doesn't change the fact that the people who buy Madden every year just so they can complain about it every year.
I know you say that, but I don't know their sales numbers.
You cannot point to a modern Madden where people didn't complain.
I don't know. I will say, like, I have been hearing a lot more of the why is this still a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Then out of like, I never hear that with FIFA. I'm not sure why, but I've never heard that with FIFA personally. I'm sure there are people out there that are mad that FIFA doesn't change year after year like Madden does it. But I have personally not heard it.
I was about to have a very controversial opinion. I was like, as a sports game, does it really need to change all that much?
It needs to add something. It doesn't need to change a lot.
We'll debate this. We'll debate video games that do not need to change a whole lot on a different podcast, because we could actually probably do a full episode on that.
Yeah. I played a Madden, like, let's say 3 years ago. Okay. Was the last Madden that I played, and it had this really cool story mode. It's called, I think, The Longest Yard or something like that.
You mean the movie?
Long Shot.
I was going to say, that Longest Yard, the football movie.
Yeah, I know. I knew it was similar. It was Long Shot, and you follow the path of this athlete that's essentially getting themselves ready for the draft and everything. It was really cool. Really well done. Loved it, every second of it. Like how bad you did in those like quarterback drills decided where you were going to get drafted. Mm-hmm. or if you were going to get drafted at all. You like, right. I definitely didn't get drafted. I did bad. But it was really cool. And they brought it. I think the year after that, they brought it back again because it only ended with the draft. So I don't know how it went the second year, but stuff like that is kind of what people are looking for.
But you can't constantly there's only so much things you can add to a sports. Yeah. Well, okay. We're going to talk about this at a different time, because I feel like we could literally talk about this all day, because we can,
for sure.
But anyway, going back to the original topic, I think EA would be one of those companies that could make Stadia a whole adventure. The next one is Sega, the Sega Dreamcast Part 2.
Sega would be really cool.
Because Google could easily afford it. Sega's been kind of slipping for a minute. That would get them the Yakuza series, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Phantasy Star and the Virtua Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Sega would be a good acquisition. And the next one is one that I think is probably the... I would probably go with Capcom.
I don't even like Capcom. I'm gonna be real with you. Yep, I like
Capcom consists of Monster Hunter, Resident Evil, Street Fighter, and Mega Man.
I like Monster Hunter. I am not a big fan of the other franchises. Monster Hunter World was the first Monster Hunter I ever played, and it was the year it came out, it was my favorite game. It is still one of my favorite games because it's so damn good. If you haven't played it, I highly recommend it.
Now, how would you have felt if Monster Hunter was only on Stadia? Would you have bought a Stadia for that?
Honestly, yeah. After playing Monster Hunter World, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. So I'm sure plenty of people feel the same way about Resident Evil. They still feel the same way about Monster Hunter. Feel the same way about Virtua Fighter. I don't know about Virtua Fighter. I definitely don't know about Mega Man.
Resident Evil will pull people. Everyone loves that franchise.
I have friends who only have a PlayStation because of Resident Evil. That's the only reason they have PlayStation, just to play Resident Evil. Could they play it on Xbox? Sure, but PlayStation. And I feel like if it was EA, Capcom, or even if it was what was the other one that I said? EA, Capcom, and Sega. I think with those three, I think Stadia would have no reason to have their own studio.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. So let's change topics a little bit. Do you want to talk about one of the topics you sent me, or want to talk one of the topics I sent you? Because I sent you two topics, one about a video game and one about the automotive industry.
Yeah. Go ahead into the automotive one.
Okay. So what am I, I keep telling myself that one day soon I'm going to be buying another vehicle. I don't know what it is, but in this kind of world we're living in, there's gas, there's hybrid, and then there's electric.
Yep.
You and I have talked about electric vehicles, and we talked about how we like the idea. Only problem is they're kind of expensive.
They're expensive, and a lot of them are just ugly.
Yes. We also talked about how a good majority of them do not look good, and I don't think there's no point in paying all this money for a car that just looks terrible.
I agree.
Because even in my opinion, not every Tesla looks good.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And so
that truck is ugly.
Yeah, the crossover, the Model Y crossover, and then the what about the Cybertruck?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The Cybertruck. Yep, that thing's hideous.
See, I think it was so weird looking that I sort of kind of started to like it.
I don't know what's wrong with you, man. That thing is hideous.
I'm going to tell you right now, that's not what it's going to look like when it comes out.
We'll see.
Elon Musk, he's a subscriber to this podcast. So Elon Musk, make sure it doesn't look like that when it comes out. But anywho, we're seeing that several car companies are announcing that they're going fully electric. Ford announced that they will be going all electric by 2030. I believe at least in Europe, GM made the announcement they're going to be going all electric by 2030 or 2035. And not too long ago, another company just announced that they are going to be going all electric as of 2025 in 4 short years. And that company is Jaguar.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. Like, now, mind you, you don't see Jaguars a lot.
You don't.
They're pretty actually rare.
Pretty much.
But I would like to see more from them. And they need to come out with an economy class like card. Like,
they do.
You know, like do they? Because they do. Every time I've looked at Jaguar, the cars seem expensive as hell.
No. Jaguar actually has a base model. Jaguar has a BMW 3 Series equivalent.
Like, so what, like 30,000,
32? No, I think it starts in the 40s. Let me check.
That is not economy, friend.
Well, I hate to break the news to you. No. The Jaguar XE starts at 39,900. So 40,000.
Shut up. 40 grand.
Because then you have to include tax, title, fee, and destination. So then it's 45,000.
Yes. It's ridiculous.
Yes, but theoretically speaking, since you lease, you can lease a Jaguar XE for pretty cheaply.
Yeah, how much?
Let me look. Jaguar XE lease. Let's see here. How much is it?
$500 a month, I'm sure.
$349.
That's not terrible, but it probably requires $4,000 down.
Only $2,000.
That's actually very attractive. I like that offer.
So, okay, man. Now you can't talk.
I take it back.
I think that, like, you really don't see Jaguars a lot because you already have, when you're looking for a luxury car, what's the first car that comes to mind? What's the first brand that comes to mind when you think of luxury?
Luxury?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Cadillac for me.
All right. Fair. That's American luxury. You have Cadillac. You have Mercedes. You have BMW. You have Audi. You have Lexus. In some weird realms, you have Infiniti. You've got Lincoln. You've got technically Buick. And then you have Jaguar. And Jaguar, you're not really going to be picked. Most people are not buying Jaguars as their first go-to.
No.
Even though I will say Jaguars look very good.
They do. Like this one that you sent in this article.
Yeah. That's a good looking car.
It looks really, really good.
And I think that's actually a car that they actually sell currently.
Yeah, that thing looks damn good. Like, I kind of want it. I won't lie.
No. I that's why I sent you that, because I wanted your thoughts and opinions on it. But yeah, that's a vehicle that they currently make. Let me just get you the name. Jaguar Electric. Car, what is it called? The I-Pace. It's called the Jaguar I-Pace. It has a range of 234 miles on the battery, and gets the price that it starts at.
Probably $80,000.
No, that's the HSC. That's like the top of the line one.
I don't know then.
$69,850. So about 77,000. Only $70,000.
Yeah, I couldn't even lease that, friend.
Neither could I. I really could not afford that in any way, shape, or form. But it is interesting, though, that a brand that never really sold a whole lot in high numbers is going all electric. Everything is going electric. And I feel a little weird about it.
So I really like it. And I just really hope that these companies come up, standardize a charger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because charging these cars is really the biggest problem.
Did you watch the video I sent you?
No. I will watch it.
I've sent you this video twice, Chris.
I know. I'm going to watch it. It's just, when you send it to me, it's always at the worst time. It's when I'm not able
I
to
send
watch.
It to you in a text message. You can look yes, at it whenever and then you want.
I look at it and then I forget about it because I close out of the text message.
Well, in the video, they have a Tesla Model Y and they have a Ford Mustang Mach-E, which is Ford's electric crossover. And they put them to test. And one of the things they test is chargers because Tesla has a well-built charging network and Ford has a charging network. And so they're going in like the cold mountains. So they're going up elevations in the cold weather to see like the battery degradation, how quickly it costs to charge, how quickly it was to charge, the cost to charge. And it does answer a couple of your questions about charging. And basically what you come to find out is that because Tesla was so far ahead of the game with this, they do have an advantage here. However, Tesla is still considered a small car company. Where Ford, you know, Ford is going to eventually surpass Tesla at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure it could catch it. It just needs time.
Yeah, and I personally think that electric cars are eventually going to be the way of the future. It's inevitable. However, I think that for the average consumer, lean your way into a plug-in hybrids first. What a plug-in hybrid is just a car you park at your home, preferably in a garage, and you plug it into the wall. It still has a gas motor and a gas engine or whatever, but it does allow you certain miles in which to drive electric only. One of the vehicles that I was looking at for potential purchase was in a plug-in hybrid, and it got, I wanted to say it got about 20 miles to electric battery range, and that's all I need in a day. That is literally all I need in a day.
20 miles?
Yep. Where am I going? Huh. Yeah. And then even if the battery degrades while you're driving, you still can just pull in your gas engine.
Interesting.
Yeah, look into plug-in hybrids. I think that plug-in hybrids are going to be a better way for consumers to get acclimated to the idea of electric cars. Because
my car currently, I
bought it because I was driving long distances and it got great gas mileage. I'm not doing that anymore. I really don't need to go that far. The idea of an electric car to me, if it was my only car, that wouldn't work for me because I still can drive pretty long distances at a moment's notice. Mm-hmm. However, with a plug-in hybrid, just plugging it at home, if I'm just making jaunts around town, it's electric the entire time until I get back to the house.
Yeah, that's fair. That's really fair.
Yeah, and our last topic, is there anything you want to say about the electric car, Chris? Your thoughts?
No, I'm just hopeful that I see more that look good and the industry continues to evolve in this way.
I just hope it continues to evolve in an affordable price range because $70,000 for an electric car is not okay.
They're out of their mind.
Even if it is a Jaguar, not okay. But the final topic I want to talk about is one that I saw this and I was just kind of like, I did a collective meh. And that is the Call of Duty 2021 reportedly set in World War II.
Dumb.
I'm over it. I am truly over
They've already done this. Like, they did the first of the World War. Like, what do I care? Like, the game, the issue that they're having with Call of Duty is they're just trying to just wreck the gaming community of all their money, and they keep releasing a game every year. Yep. And so there's barely any time to innovate and change things and really think of cool things to try. So they're stuck in this nonstop release schedule. It's not going to work forever.
No.
At some point, this way that you guys are releasing it's going to fail.
Yep.
And like, there's already been like many people that are like, well, this one sucks. And it's every year. I'm like, wow, this is just not good compared to this other one. And it's just like, well, yeah, if you guys would like stick to like regular release cycles, like other games, because it takes time to make a game. Don't rush the thing through.
Mm-hmm. Well, another game series had this exact same problem. Assassin's Creed was actually at one point releasing a new game every year. And when that happened, the quality started going down because you just couldn't keep up. I believe it was Assassin's Creed Unity, then Syndicate. It was Rogue, Unity, then Syndicate, or no, it was Rogue, Syndicate, Rogue, Unity, Syndicate. And then after that, the reviews just kept going downhill, downhill, downhill. Yeah. So they're like, all right, let's take some time off. Let's focus on what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to our original thoughts. And they released it on a 2-year cycle. And that's how you got Assassin's Creed Origins, followed by Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Now it's followed by, followed by Assassin's Creed Valhalla. You're actually building a better product, and it's really showing in the work you're doing. Each one of these games is reviewing very highly, and you're also benefiting the player. When you're spending $60-$70, you want a lot of content, and Assassin's Creed gave it to you, whereas Call of Duty, we've revisited this, and I hate to be the one that says it, but there's only so many stories left to tell in World War II. I hate to be the one that says it. And yes, I'm sure you can do a different take and a different spin on the World War II genre and the whole Call of Duty genre. But at some point, let's go and do something we have yet to do. It's not like this is the only wars there was.
Yeah. Like, I kind of like to see them go more around the world.
Yeah, I would love to see that too.
Instead of just sticking with America, mm-hmm. I'd like to see more. So, thumbs down to you, Call of Duty. You have disappointed me now for years, and I haven't bought a new Call of Duty in a long time because of it.
I've never bought a Call of Duty.
I've bought a few, but not in a very long time.
So, if this Call of Duty 2021 is set in World War II, will you be passing over this one?
Yeah, I'm going to pass it.
I'm going to pass too. And on that note, Chris, is there any sign-off message you want to give these people?
Yeah, if you want to follow me, you can check me out at twitch.tv/iChameleonEye. Or you can find me on Twitter and YouTube at Chameleon Games, and that's K-A-M-E-L-I-O-N. Just let me know where you found me.
And you can add me on as a friend on Xbox Live at gamertag Darkness Tiger. And I hopefully will be getting the Twitter account back very soon, probably right after this. After we end this call, and you can follow us on our Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers, and we'll be tweeting up a storm because I have a lot of work to catch up on. So thank you all for joining us so much to the Uninformed Gamers podcast. Thanks for listening. Have a good night. Or in some cases, good morning.